Welcome to All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. My name is Francis Blight, and this is the podcast service for Trinity Sunday, the 7th of June 2020. Our focus today is on God as Trinity, and we'll be studying two short Bible passages which are printed in today's notice sheet. Alongside these are all the other bits of content that you'll need to participate in the service. So before you begin, have this ready, either printed out or on a screen. Each Sunday, a new YouTube teaching video for children is produced by our schools worker, Ruth Reynolds. As well as watching these with your own children, I encourage you to share them on social media with friends and family. All the resources can be accessed through the church website. Today's service will be led by Nick Durlacher, and I will give the sermon.
Good day to everyone who has joined us for this podcast service on Trinity Sunday. And a particularly warm welcome to any newcomer who is downloading this podcast for the first time. My name is Nicholas Durlacher, and it is my privilege to be leading the podcast this morning. I'm going to be assisted by Nick and Ali Brett, who will give us our two readings, by Ali Rezo, who will lead our intercessions, and by Francis Blight, our minister, who will be opening the scriptures to us. Francis, as you will see on the service sheet, will be addressing the key question, does the Bible teach that Jesus Christ is God? So often we hear that he is just a good man. Francis will be giving us his talk in two halves, and it will be interspersed by our second reading and by the Creed. We are going to use the Nicene Creed today to help us better understand the nature of Christ, both fully man and fully God. Just a reminder, you will find the Creed, and indeed all the prayers and songs that we will be using, in the notice sheet. I mentioned that this is Trinity Sunday. We believe in a triune God, three persons in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, together the Holy Trinity. As Michael Buse helpfully pointed out last Sunday, the three persons of the Trinity are present throughout the Bible. This understanding is central to Christian theology. Nevertheless, it was something that the early church wrestled with. Indeed, it was only at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD that a settled position was finally accepted. An agreed statement of faith was drawn up by the council that we know and still use today. It is the Nicene Creed. So before we have our first song, let me pray using words from the Nicene Creed. Dear Lord, we come together now to worship you, the one true God, God the Father, one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Three persons in one, Holy Trinity, we praise and adore you. Amen. So let us unite in praise as we sing a new version of an old and much loved Heber hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning a song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee. Which word and ardent evermore shall be.
As we come before a holy God and confess our sins, let us pause for a moment to consider those things that we have done, that we should not have done, and the things that we have not done, that we should have done. And then I will lead in the confession. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our gracious God, we thank you that you have assured us that our forgiveness comes by grace through repentance and faith in our Lord, Jesus Christ, and that in believing in him, our sins are indeed washed away. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. We continue by praying together the Collect for Trinity Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith, that we may evermore be defended from all adversities, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to our first reading, and then Francis will give us the first part of his talk.
Today's reading is taken from John, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Trinity Sunday is a day in the year when we think about and celebrate the nature of God. He's revealed himself to humanity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons of the same nature. But many people wonder, how can you have one thing which is also three? Maybe you think, the world I experience just isn't like that. So are there any things in God's creation where we experience three things being one? Well, let's for a moment consider the way a musical chord works. That's a C chord, a combination of three individual notes. C, E, and G. Now, each individual note is a sound on its own. And the chord has a sound as well. I'm going to play the chord again. Listen carefully, because you can hear the individual notes in the chord. In a musical chord, we find something where three sounds can be part of one larger sound, and yet they still have their own individual identity. Now, this doesn't prove that God is a Trinity, and it's important to be clear that God is fundamentally different from anything that he's created. But thinking about a musical chord helps us to see that God being three persons of one nature, three in one, perhaps it isn't such a strange idea. Today we're going to think about two short Bible passages from the New Testament written by a man called John. We've just heard one of them read to us, and they're printed on page 5 of the service sheet. I've divided today's sermon into two parts, and we begin with a question. Does the Bible teach that Jesus Christ is God? The Trinity is, of course, about three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. In last Sunday's Pentecost sermon, we focused on the gift of the Spirit, but today we'll mainly focus on God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son. So does the Bible teach that Jesus Christ is God? Well, the answer is yes. Let me show you from the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 1, which we've just heard read to us. John begins his account of Jesus' life with an amazing statement. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. These are some of the most wonderful words that have ever been written. John's writing about a person called the Word. We know that it's a person rather than a thing, because in verse 2, John writes, He was with God in the beginning. The Word was there at the very beginning of creation. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is a mind-blowing and beautiful truth. The Word was both with God and was God at the same time. So the Word was distinct from God and also part of God, both at once. Returning to the guitar, think of these two notes as the Word and as God. The Word, C. God, E. The Word was with God. and the Word was God. As we read on in the opening chapter of John's Gospel, we realise that when John writes about the Word, he's speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God who was there from the beginning, with God, and yet at the same time, God as well. Later on in the chapter in verse 14, John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Word became a human being in the person of Jesus. So yes, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God. I own a book written by a man called Nabil Qureshi called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. Qureshi grew up as a Muslim in America and as an adult became a Christian. Now, central to the Muslim religion is the belief that God is not a Trinity. The Muslim holy book, the Quran, is against the belief that God is triune or that Jesus is God. It was written about 600 years after Jesus' birth, death and resurrection, over a period of about 23 years, from 609 to 632 AD. Here's a quotation from Surah 4, Ayah 171. This surah, or we might say chapter, is called An-Nisa, which has the English title The Woman, because of the many references to women within it. O people of the scripture, do not commit excess in your religion, or say about Allah except the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, was but a messenger of Allah, and his word, which he directed to Mary and a soul, created at a command from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers, and do not say three. Desist, it's better for you. Indeed, Allah is but one God. Exalted is he above having a son. So that quotation is from the Muslim Quran, not the Christian Bible. Because of this teaching, it's very difficult for Muslims to believe that Jesus is God. In Qureshi's book, he explains how Muslims don't believe that the Christian Bible actually teaches this, that Jesus is God. They think that the church has misunderstood the Bible and invented the idea of Jesus' divinity. But it was this verse at the beginning of John's Gospel which convinced Nabil that the Bible does teach that Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. This was a significant step in him coming to believe the Christian Gospel. So yes, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God, and it teaches it clearly enough to change even a Muslim's mind. That's the first part of today's sermon. I'll return for part two in a few minutes' time.
We now come to that time when we affirm our faith by saying the Nicene Creed, after which there will be the second reading, and then Francis will continue with his sermon. The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Today's second Bible reading is taken from 1 John, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we are asking the question, does the Bible teach that Jesus Christ is God? So far I've sought to show you from the beginning of John's Gospel that yes, it does. We've just heard a second Bible passage written by the same man, John. This is from a document called 1 John or 1 John. And this can get a bit confusing because 1 John and John 1 sound quite similar, don't they? But 1 John is different to John's Gospel. It's a letter written to the churches that John had oversight of, and it's tucked away near the end of the Bible. My second point for today is this. The Bible teaches that God became a human in Jesus with a real physical body. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 2, which is printed for you on page 5 of the service sheet. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Here John writes about the eternal life that appeared to him and the other apostles. He's talking again about Jesus. At the beginning of his letter, he calls him the Word of Life, and we note the link with the beginning of his Gospel. He's explaining that the eternal life became a human being in the person of Jesus. He came from the Father, God the Father, and appeared to John and others. In verse 1, John wants us to be clear that this eternal life became a real physical human being. John heard him talk. John saw him with his own eyes. John touched him with his hands. John experienced Jesus with three senses: hearing, sight, and touch. On page 5 of the service sheet is a picture by Italian painter Caravaggio. It depicts the appearance of Jesus to his disciples a week after his resurrection from the dead. Do have that in front of you. And it's best to have it in colour. If you've got it on a screen, that's great. And maybe you can enlarge the size a bit to have a look at it. A week earlier, one of his disciples called Thomas said that unless he saw the nail marks in Jesus' hands and could put his finger where the nails had been, he would not believe that Jesus had come back from the dead. So Jesus invites Thomas, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. In this painting, Caravaggio imagines the moment as Jesus guides Thomas's hand to touch the wound made by the Roman spear when he was on the cross. If you spend a little bit of time looking at the picture, it's actually a bit creepy. Thomas's finger is right inside the wound. Caravaggio emphasises the intensity of the moment with a pitch black background and bright patches of light on the four men in the picture. John was present with the other disciples at that moment, And years later, he wrote in his letter, "We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us, that which we've looked at and our hands have touched." John's point is that he is a witness to the fact that Jesus was a real person, a real human with a real body. And Caravaggio's painting emphasises this, depicting the reality that Jesus' disciples experienced him with their senses. John heard him, John saw him, John touched him. So the Bible teaches that God became a human in Jesus with a real physical body. When we think about the Trinity, we need to be clear that Jesus was fully God and he was also fully human. This is part of the wonder of the person of Jesus. And we need to hold these two things together when we think of the Trinity. It would be easy to think of Jesus as either less than God, or on the other hand, as being fully God but not fully human. Jesus was both, and we need to hold the two together, balancing the seesaw, so to speak, so that Jesus' divinity and humanity are both part of our thinking. God as Trinity is an awe-inspiring thing to think about. God as Trinity is wonderful. It's to be celebrated and explored. But we aren't meant to leave it simply as an interesting idea. And this takes us to my third and final point. God became a human in Jesus so that you can have life. The Trinity is life. The Trinity created all that we experience, created the universe, all the life on planet Earth. And God's Son, the second person in the Trinity, became a human so that you can have life. God wants us to have life, to have eternal life with him. Relationship, joy, connectedness, fellowship, love. God wants us to have all this. And the place where we find this life is in Jesus. Well, I say place, but it's not a place, is it? It's a person. Jesus Christ. John makes this very plain. He begins his gospel about Jesus by stating in verse 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." In his first letter, he writes in verse 4, "We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us." Jesus is full of life. By this, John isn't simply saying that he's alive like we are. He's not saying that he simply had a lively, bubbly personality. Yes, Jesus was fully alive as a human being, like we are. But he had been eternally alive with God the Father from before the creation of the universe. "We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father." Do you feel the impact of what a massive statement that is? The Son of God, who'd always been with God the Father, appeared, becoming a human. In him was life, the life that created the world, the life that healed the sick, healed the demon-possessed, put things right with a simple touch or a spoken command. That life was in Jesus, and he became a human being for the purpose that we could have life. Life now, and life stretching beyond death into the future, eternal life. John puts it clearly towards the end of his letter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So the pursuit of knowing God is a quest for life. Not just knowledge for the sake of knowledge, but knowledge for the sake of life. There are many interesting historical subjects that we can study. Ancient Greek culture, the development of industrialization, the Russian Revolution. These can bring wisdom and understanding. They can be stimulating and enjoyable, but they don't give life in the way that John is talking about. We focus on knowing Jesus because the Bible teaches that he is the source of life. And surely life is what everybody wants. In every daydream, in every fantasy, in every hobby, in every project, isn't it life that we're looking for? God became a human in Jesus so that you and I can have life. And eternal life isn't something separate from God. It isn't something that Jesus points us to, like, say, a particular plant nutrient that you can take to improve your health. No, the life is in him. He is the life. If you want it, you need to get hold of Jesus. John proclaimed Jesus the source of life in his generation, and his writings were then included in the Christian Bible. 2,000 years later, here at All Saints Church, we continue to proclaim Jesus, the Son given by God the Father, so that you and I can have life. Well, let me sum up as I come to finish. Today we celebrate God as Trinity. We celebrate that Jesus is both fully God and fully human. God became a human in Jesus with a real physical body. And we celebrate that Jesus came to give eternal life to whoever will believe in him. So we put our faith in God afresh today, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And especially we put our faith in Jesus the Son, our Saviour and Redeemer. He is the way to get connected with God and to receive the gift of eternal life. Let's respond to God's word with a song which celebrates God as Trinity and particularly Christ as our Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus God's own Son, precious Lamb of God. Messiah, Holy One.
Thank you, oh my Father.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain.
Thank you, oh, my Father.
Well,
Let us now turn to our intercessions, which Eliezer will lead us in, after which we will join together in the Lord's Prayer.
Good morning, everyone. Now we come to a time of intercession. Father God, we come humbly before you in this time to pray. First of all, while we cannot ever truly fathom your greatness, Lord, we praise you for everything that you are: light, love, just, merciful, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and so much more. We thank you that you are holy and that you are with us, as we heard in the song earlier. Lord, we praise you and thank you for Jesus, that you sent your Son to earth as a human being with a physical body to die on the cross for our sins, to be resurrected on the third day, defeating death and sin once and for all, so that we can have eternal life through faith alone by your grace. Father God, we thank you for giving us your word, your truth, which we learn from 2 Timothy 3:16 is breathed out by you and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And from Psalm 19, that the law of the Lord is perfect. Lord, we pray for a heart which loves the word, that doesn't sideline the Bible to just when we do Christian events, but that it would be central to our Christian life, seeking the wisdom which you've given us about every single area of our lives. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We know from Ephesians 6 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Father God, as we start this new week, I pray that you would help us put on the different pieces of the armour of God: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of readiness, the helmet of salvation, taking up the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit in a constant prayerful mind. Father, protect us in the spiritual battles which are going on in each of our lives. Father God, we know that we live in a fallen world. We know that because of human sinful nature and the total depravity which exists in this world, we will never achieve perfection while on this earth. We see terrible things every day. However, we know and thank you that you are sovereign over all of these things. Now, Lord, we pray for our society and the world as a whole. We pray for an end to the COVID-19 pandemic and for all those affected by it. We pray for those who have lost family members or friends, that they would be comforted. We pray for the government, that you would give them wisdom about how to lead the country out of the pandemic. And we thank you, Lord, for the NHS workers and other frontline workers who have been working so hard to keep us all safe and healthy. Ultimately, we thank you, Lord, that you have already planned a way out for us. We pray for Christian organisations in the UK who are working in the public sphere to change the culture on a large scale, such as Christian Concern, the Christian Institute, the Centre for Bioethical Reform UK, Right to Life UK, the Christian Action, Research and Education Charity, or CARE, and the Life Charity, among others. We pray that their campaigns would be successful and that the culture would become more biblical as we proclaim the gospel and as they campaign. We pray especially right now for the fight against no-fault divorce and the fight for equality for preborn children with minor disabilities. We thank you that you are a just Lord. We pray for justice for the family of George Floyd, who was killed by a police officer in the USA. We pray that people would realise that this is a sin problem rooted in human nature, not a skin colour problem, and that the solution is not found in political debate, anti-biblical organisations or riots, but through transformation by the gospel. We pray for Christians to proclaim the gospel to their neighbours and for people to realise the truth of the gospel, and that all human beings, from fertilisation to natural death, are all equally valuable and made in God's image. We pray for the persecuted church in countries such as Iran, Algeria, China, Syria, Nigeria, and many other places. We pray for protection and thank you for the growth we are seeing in these places. We pray especially for the ministry of Sandy and Kirsten Russell in northern Iraq. We thank you that through the lockdown, they have been able to continue links with Kurdish-speaking friends, both in the UK and in Iraq. We pray that conversations and scriptures shared will draw individuals and their families closer to Jesus. Now we come to a time of prayer for the local church. Father God, as a church family, we are more and more trying to stay connected during this time of lockdown. We pray that we would continue to grow in our faith, both individually and as a family, so that when the church buildings open again, we might come back even more secure in you, Lord. We pray that we would be able to serve people in our communities, and we thank you for those who have already been helping out. We pray for the decisions being made about who will replace Bishop Stephen Cottrell as Bishop of Chelmsford. Father, raise up a man who meets the qualifications laid out in 1 Timothy and Titus, a man who loves your word and believes in its authority. Raise up a man who is faithful both to your word and to his family. Raise up a man who will lead the diocese towards you, Lord, instead of away. We pray that we would not have a wolf in sheep's clothing put into the position of Bishop of Chelmsford, who would be wishy-washy on the Bible, cherry-picking bits he would like and ignoring bits which were a bit more complex and a bit countercultural. We pray that this man you raise up would speak boldly about the gospel and would be biblically countercultural. Whatever your will is, let it be done. We pray for the Bishop Stephen Cottrell as he will soon take up the position of Archbishop of York. We pray that he would repent and start to trust the Bible as completely authoritative and not bow down to culture. We are coming up to the 1 year anniversary of Francis's arrival at our church. We thank you for him and Georgina and their children Tom, Sam and Zoe. We thank you for their ministry and the ways in which they have served our church family. We pray for the upcoming year that they would continue to be faithful to your word and lead us as a congregation as we aim to proclaim the gospel to our communities. We pray for protection for them, as there will surely be demonic forces trying to trip them up in their walks, especially as they continue to grow their ministry here. We pray for Tom, Sam and Zoe that they would keep growing in your word and for them to feel more and more at home in Fordham and Atash Green. We just thank you, Lord, for bringing them to us and pray for many years of blessing upon them and this church. We pray for our church wardens, Nick and Alistair, and the PCC as they seek to support Francis and guide the church. We thank you for the technology that enables us to have podcasts on Sunday mornings, the videos which Ruth Reynolds has been making, and the Zoom coffee time we have together. We thank you that you are sustaining us and helping us grow in God's word. We pray for the Christianity Explored course, that it would bring people to Christ and that it would be fruitful. Now we pray for the married men in our church, that they would grow in their leadership of the home, spiritually leading their family, and that they would lead their wife and children to you, Lord. We pray for constant spiritual growth and a growing knowledge of your word and a love for your word so that they may be able to lead well. We pray for the married women in the church that they would love their husbands, growing in faith through his leadership and continually supporting him. We pray for their children that they would obey their parents and that their parents would be teaching them the truths of the Bible so that they would be secure in their faith as they go out into the world, especially when they're older, and so that they can be light and salt. We pray for those who are single in the church, that they would be self-controlled and be faithful to you, Lord, that they would look to you, Lord, for everything in their life. We pray for those who are widowed, that they would be supported by their wider family and by the church, that they would not feel lonely, especially during this time of struggle. And we pray for those who are not as connected with the rest of the church family during this time, that they would also not feel lonely and would be supported. We take some time now to bring up specific people who are on our hearts, who may be ill or struggling. Father God, there is so much more to pray for in this world, and there is not enough time to pray for all of it this morning in these prayers. But we pray for a radical transformation in our culture, that people would repent and believe, be saved and born again. We pray for those already saved to have a hunger for the word, to trust and obey what it says, and to proclaim the gospel to their neighbours. We pray that all of these things would happen, and we bring all of these prayers to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we approach the end of our podcast, some notices from Francis, followed by a closing prayer from me. And then, do join us for virtual coffee by Zoom at 11:30. Hosted by Gavin Holt. 2 sugars, please, Gavin.
As we come to the end of this podcast, some items of church family news. Join us this morning for chat and catch up at our regular 11:30 Zoom coffee time. The Zoom link has been emailed out to the church contact list. If you haven't joined in yet, it's a really helpful way to stay in fellowship with the church community. So I do encourage you to Zoom in this morning. Our summer teaching focus on the book of Philippians begins next Sunday. This New Testament letter is full of encouragement to know Christ, which is part of our church mission statement, and to be united in Christ as a community. My prayer is that it will help us while the separation of lockdown continues. The growth groups, which are meeting regularly on Zoom, will be looking at Philippians, and if you'd like to join in with one, you'd be very welcome to. Please contact the church office if you're interested. I'll also send out an email in due course with details of resources which can help you to study the letter yourself at home. This Friday, we look forward to an online church quiz night starting at 7:30 p.m. The questions are designed to be suitable for a wide age range, and we hope that it'll be a fun time for many in the church family to gather together. To help with the organisation of the evening, please sign up by emailing or telephoning the church office. Christianity Explored moves to week 3 this Wednesday. So far it's working well through Zoom. Please pray that God will give faith and understanding to the participants. And finally, if you have a practical need or you'd value a conversation with someone, please make use of the All Saints Care Team. Contact numbers are in today's notice sheet.
Be with us, Lord, as we go out into an unlocking and uncertain world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.